Welcome to The Simple Truth, hosted by Jeff Lewis. Every Saturday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 to 7 Mountain, 7 to 8 Central, and 8 to 9 Eastern on PBS Radio at www.pbsradio.com. Where, if it's not mainstream, it's on pbsradio.com. Tonight, Saturday, February 10th, 2007, our host will be interviewing Dr. Harris L. Coulter, Ph.D., regarding the amazing book he has authored, From Shot in the Dark, on the danger of vaccinations, this series called Divided Legacy. Harris Coulter is a native of Baltimore, Maryland, and a graduate of Yale University. He has received Ph.D. from Columbia University. He is the author of numerous articles and several books on acupuncture, osteopathy, herbalism, alternative health care, and much more. Stay tuned, listeners. This proves to be a quite interesting event. Tonight, call in if numbers are toll-free in the United States, 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada, 888-810-8322. And for international callers, it's 850-876-3222. We will be taking your calls the last 5 to 10 minutes at the end of our show. Please be sure to have a pen and paper ready to write down any useful information you will hear on The Simple Truth tonight and every Saturday night. Many thanks to our producer, Donald Newsom, for PBS Radio and what he and all those involved have done with PBS. PBS Radio is first to bring you truth, knowledge, consciousness, and so much more through the Internet. Now we can finally get the truth out there to those so desperately seeking it. Announcements. Again, all announcements will be posted on the Trusted News Trader link at the blog site on bbsradio.com. Please post anything you feel may be of interest to our listeners, or simply email our host with any information that could be useful to our audience. Please check in for updates at our main website at www.tobehealthynow.com. Again, that's www.TheHealthyNow.com. And for any questions, feel free to contact your host at sacredtech@cox.net. Again, that's sacredtech@cox.net. And now, here is the host of The Simple Truth, Jeff Lewis.
Hello and good evening. Thank you, conscious listeners, for joining us again tonight, now our sixth show here on BBS Radio. This is getting very exciting, to say the least. Be sure to stay tuned to our future shows, as you haven't seen anything yet. And please be sure to hear our past shows on the BBS Radio archives at the bbsradio.com website. Oh boy, this is getting fun. To our many listeners out there, as I have said before, it is my intentions and mission and passion with every show for The Simple Truth to be about cutting-edge health, nutrition, advanced healing technologies, and modalities from around the world. It is also my intention with every show to freely give out viable, effective, and or affordable, and easily accessible healing suggestions and modalities that you can do and or use right in the comfort of your own home. It is also my mission and passion to address the current untold news in the media on the unlawful and the illegal issues, or legal issues, I should say, regarding our rights, our freedoms, our property, our children, and our very futures. Need information on this topic? Simply email me anytime and put in the subject box links to freedom, truth, and justice. Only through truth can we educate everyone regarding our God-given rights, our freedoms, our children's futures, and our property, our health, and the very laws of our Creator. God has granted each and every one of us the same rights, so claim them. And please, again, freely share what you hear here tonight and pass on the knowledge, and thanks for listening and being aware. So with that said, let's get started tonight with our very special guest, Dr. Harris Coulter. Dr. Coulter, how are you doing tonight?
Well, Jeff, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear. You're in Washington. You are, what, a couple hours ahead of us, 2 hours ahead of us, I think, 3 hours or so from the Pacific Coast here. Maybe we can get started tonight with your background and a little how you got started in the field. Let's start with, homeopathy.
Yes, indeed, Jeff. Glad to. Well, I started out in life as trying to become a criminologist, if you know what that was. In the old days when the Soviet Union still existed, there were people who specialized in learning about how the Communist Party operated and how the Soviet Union operated and how its government operated, all that sort of thing. They weren't communists, but they were interested from a educational point of view to understand the Soviet Union and in order to be able to promote the better relations with the United States.
Okay.
And I was one of those. That was my primary aim in life for many, many years. And I studied Russian and worked on learning to speak Russian very, very hard for about 20 years. I learned to speak it quite fluently by the time I'd finished. And that's how I made my living for many years as a Russian translator and interpreter.
Okay.
And then my whole life changed around. I married for the second time, my second wife, Catherine, because shortly after we were married, she developed a very inexplicable illness. She was sick with something which nobody could quite understand, but she was very, very sick. I thought she was going to die on my hands. I was very, very upset by that.
Oh, boy.
And we searched around for doctors who could treat her. We tried doctor after doctor. Nobody could do anything. And we finally, in France, came across a thing called homeopathy, which we neither one of us knew about before. And we found a homeopathic doctor in Paris there who right away was able to help her with his very first prescription.
Now, how old were you at the time, if you don't mind me asking?
I was about in my late 30s, and she was too.
Okay, gotcha. So continue, please.
Well, we found that this, whereas Catherine had been very, very allergic to everything which had contained fish, once she had started taking homeopathic medicine, she wasn't allergic to fish anymore. She could eat fish for the first time in many years.
Thank you for that. You just solved the problem I'm having with the young boy right now. He's, 4 years old, maybe? 3 years old. He can't eat any kind of fish, and we can't figure out what's going on.
Well, try homeopathy for him, then.
Thank you. Yes, I will. Go ahead.
But anyway, to make a long story short, I got into homeopathy that way because I was so impressed by the results that it had with Catherine.
Well, what was the situation? It was a physical situation, obviously. What was going on? That nothing would work, or they couldn't figure it out.
Well, she had frightful allergies, and she had sinus trouble, and pneumonia-like condition.
Wow, that doesn't sound any different from about everybody else out there.
frequently repeating themselves, about once a week she had something like that.
Yes, we're all allergic to something, and most people aren't even aware of half the stuff they're allergic
to. Well, that is something we'll talk about a little bit later, if you want. The whole United States is allergic to everything, actually. Everybody in this country is very allergic, and that's a big medical issue, which is not very often discussed, and the question is how it happened. And I want to talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, definitely. I definitely want to stick with the homeopathy on this one right now because we definitely have some special listeners out there, we hope, from the National Center of Homeopathy, correct?
Yeah, they should be, yeah.
Yeah, they're listening. I know they are. This is probably going to be one of our biggest listened-to shows, as a matter of fact, tonight. So this is very exciting for me. I know this is exciting for you. You calling every day to check on details was just... And, you know, thinking you're bothering me was no bother whatsoever. It's a complete honor to just, you know, work with you in any way I can. I've been blessed to work with you in the way I even met you. But we'll save that for another show, maybe. So let's stick with homeopathy now. Let's finish off with your books and the subject. Let's really get into what homeopathy is about, what's happened to homeopathy, why it's not recognized in this country, why it is so profound and so effective and so to almost the laws of God of how we're supposed to deal with the body. By using very subtle doses of natural elements in a high-frequency state.
Yeah. Well, what interested me in particular about homeopathy was the fact that it was becoming a political movement by the time I got into it. About 1960, I first ran into it. I was about 30 years old at the time. And it was becoming more and more people were latching onto it and getting interested in it. Whereas in the 19th century, it had been about 15% of the American physicians were practicing homeopathy, and about 15% of the public were adherents to homeopathy. After 1900, that dropped off for various reasons. And by 1960, it was starting to come back again. But that had been very much in a state of dormancy for about 50 years by then.
Where's the birth of homeopathy? Is that...
Well, homeopathy was invented about 1800 by a German doctor named Samuel Hahnemann.
Okay.
And it's a very complicated system, which I've written two books about, so I would urge anyone who's interested to get my books.
Please give out those titles right now, since we're on the
show. Yeah, one is called Homeopathic Medicine, and the other is called Homeopathic Science and Modern Medicine.
Okay, so that's the one.
And they're not very expensive, and I'd urge everybody to get them.
Yeah,
and then you'll have everything you want, everyone wants to know about homeopathy.
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon right now. I saw them there for very cheap, for used ones and new ones.
They're not expensive, thank goodness, no.
Yeah. Okay, please continue. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful.
Well, what interested me about homeopathy was because I was a student of politics, was that homeopathy was a political movement in medicine. And that really excited me very much because it was, as a political movement, it was trying to attract as many supporters as possible. And it was getting a lot of doctors that were subscribing to it. Now, we're talking about the middle of the 19th century now, at the time that when I started to study it, I found out that homeopathy was a political movement, and what was the key issue that happened was that homeopathy was the reason for the formation of the American Medical Association in 1846.
Really?
And I wrote my doctoral dissertation with a PhD on the formation of the American Medical Association.
Oh, wow. I refer to them as American Medieval Association, but...
Yeah, that could be, that could be.
Go ahead.
What happened was that the doctors were... So many doctors were taking up homeopathy that the other doctors had decided that something had to be done about it. So they invented a whole issue, a false issue. They said that American doctors were very badly educated. And this was the beginning of what was called the educational crisis in American medicine. And the doctors said, we have a very uneducated medical profession and a very uneducated public, and that is why so many doctors are becoming homeopaths.
Okay.
And so they formed the American Medical Association in order to, as they said, to improve the quality of American medical education, although they didn't actually do anything for American medical education. Ultimately, no changes ever made in the education. But that was the reason for the formation of the American Medical Association was to do away with homeopathy. So they started out as bitter enemies of homeopathy.
Oh, my God.
And that they remain that way even today. They're still just the same bitter enemies as they ever were.
So what is homeopathy doing to sustain itself and stay...
Well, it has a lot of... Nobody loves it but the people, as they say.
Well, okay.
And the public has always supported homeopathy much more than the doctors.
Okay.
Because they can see that it does them a lot of good. Especially in the mid-19th century, the medical professions were using medicines which you wouldn't believe if you ever saw it described. The principal way of treating people with illnesses was to let blood. So they let blood out of people as much as a quart at a time.
Right.
It's hard to believe that much. And then they used medicines. In particular, they used a lot of mercury.
Yeah.
Now, mercury has been in the headlines lately because of the mercury in vaccinations, but that's just a little tiny drop of mercury.
Yeah.
And in the 19th century, they were giving people mercury by the cupful.
Oh, my God. Really? And, just drinking it straight?
No, it was not. They were given it in the way of pills.
Oh, pills to consume. I got you.
Okay. Pills containing mercury.
Wow, that's insanity.
That was the mothers of America didn't want their children to take these pills.
Well, what are your thoughts on mercury? What do you think they really did do the mercury for?
Mercury is supposed to produce a bowel movement. That's what mercury does. And the doctors thought that it was very important to have many bowel movements as the key to good health.
Well, they were onto something there.
Well, that's true, but it depends on how you do it.
Well, of course.
It's not by eating near mercury that you're going to be healthy.
No. I'm helping everybody I work with to get that out of their body.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And as I was saying, the mothers of America could see that mercury was bad for their children, especially they didn't like to see their children having their blood let out of their veins.
Oh, my God.
The doctor used to let blood even from newborn babies, if you can imagine such a thing. I found a text which said that with a small child, you've got to let blood from the jugular vein because all the other veins are too small to work with. And any mother who sees a doctor cutting a baby's jugular vein is not going to be very sympathetic to that system of medicine.
Yeah, right, of course.
And so the parents of America were very much against the existing allopathic medicine.
Okay.
It was called allopathic medicine, and anything which was not homeopathic was called sometimes allopathic, sometimes standard medicine, sometimes classical medicine, sometimes old school medicine. All of those names were used for the medicine which was not homeopathy. Huh. And so the 19th century was a period where there was a civil war in medicine between the homeopaths on one side and the old school on the other side. The homeopaths were known as the new school. So those two schools were fighting each other all through the 19th century.
Well, Wise, I still have the same question for you. What is homeopathy doing to keep its ground?
Getting better results, first of all.
I mean, I know it's widely used everywhere else but here, other than, again, by the people or conscious doctors here in the States. But in Europe and Germany and Denmark and Sweden and Holland, and you know, that's their main protocol, is they start you off basically, you know,
exactly.
You see an iridologist.
It has been less popular in the United States than it is in Europe, because the European countries never had an American Medical Association. The AMA said its principal task was to wipe out homeopathy, and it's been fighting homeopathy ever since that time.
Interesting, and there's not one yet, and they never
it
will.
It has won.
And they never will.
They thought they were going to win at one point, and they had homeopathy at a very low level early in the 20th century.
Uh-huh.
But then, as you probably know, there was a thing called the new medicine, or the green medicine, which came back into favor about 1950 or 1960.
Okay.
And that was really homeopathy under a different name, that's all. They called it green medicine, or they called it new medicine, but it was really homeopathy's own. But they didn't want to call it homeopathy because they didn't like to use that old name.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that was...
Let's start talking about where homeopathy is here today. What's going on? Besides the institute here in the States, and your colleagues from abroad...
It still has the same kind of popular support as it always had.
No, I'm saying as far as the medical mainstreams of different countries, various countries using it now as part of their practice.
Well, they're not using it very much, no. The regular doctors still are very much opposed to it. But that's not no real disadvantage, because they'd have trouble using it anyway, because they'd have to go to school and learn all over again.
Well, they've got to have a public surface statement to make as far as why they object to it. What's their objection? Why don't they think...
They knew that the AMA said it was quackery in the 20th and the 19th century.
Okay.
They remember that much.
Okay.
And they don't want to practice the medicine which the AMA called quackery, even though that's nonsense.
Right. What I don't get, though, is if they can do it so easily and put things away and bury things so easily, why can't they denounce it? Because they can't, because it's truth.
Well, they did the best they could, but they couldn't. They got it pretty well buried, but not entirely. And then it came back to life again like a Jesus Christ, you know, out of the grave.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So what books besides those have you co-authored or written in the world of homeopathy? Have you done in-depth study and become a doctor? I think you got your doctorate in homeopathy, correct?
I wrote a book called wrote this history of medicine called Divided Legacy, which you mentioned.
Oh, yes.
Which
is
a history
of
medicine
of books, actually. Yes,
since Greek times until the present day. But volume three of that set, which is four volume set, volume three is about the 19th century in the United States and about the formation of the American Medical Association. So if you want to know every detail about the AMA and how it formed, you can get volume three of Divided Legacy.
Volume three, what do I got here? I've got volume four. Okay, it's on my list. Again, Amazon Books had it. They had all of them, actually, all the original hardbacks. And Northern Atlantic Books, correct?
North Atlantic Books, yeah.
North Atlantic Books.
That's a publisher in Berkeley, California.
Berkeley, correct. Okay, wonderful. Okay, again, there'll be links up on the show site and the website for this as well to get to it, no problem. Anything else that we can address in homeopathy, other than leading that into, as you started to bring up, the vaccinations?
Well, homeopathy is still very strong in the United States, not among the doctors at all, but it is among the public. The public practices it on their own. They study it on their practice and treat themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Homeopathy is another reason why the strength of homeopathy.
Yeah,
the books are not written in Latin, but they're written in plain English, which anybody can understand.
Yeah, it's not that hard, folks.
From the very beginning, everybody has tested.
It is a pretty in-depth science, but to understand basic protocols and basic uses of it, like simple things with your children, like fevers or teething or not sleeping,
yep,
or various little normal symptoms that most parents deal with and go get their kids on either antibiotics or some form of a medication or vaccination, it's so much more subtler and gentler on the body in a natural way with zero toxic.
Well, what I'm getting around to saying is that homeopathy is a complete system of medicine, which can be used to treat just about anything that you suffer from.
Yeah.
We even treat some cases of cancer with good results.
Wow. Although homeopathy is basically any element can be made into homeopathic
The number of medicines is about 1,000, so there's a lot of drugs there.
Now, what about, for instance, like, say, oils, like all the essential oils from plant extracts? Can those be made into homeopathics?
Yeah, anything. You can make homeopathic medicines.
I never even thought of that. Homeopathic oils. That's got to be out there. Someone's got to have that.
It'll happen if it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, wow.
It'll happen sometime.
Vaccinations. Shot in the Dark, Harris Coulter and Barbara Little Fisher. Amazing book. Why the P in the DPT vaccinations may be hazardous to your child's health. What is that all about?
Well, I started taking up studying vaccinations. After I finished writing the history of the AMA, I told a friend of mine that I didn't have anything to work on. I was very unhappy because I was only happy when I'm writing a book. He said, why don't you write a book about whooping cough? I see in the paper he said there's a whooping cough epidemic in Virginia. So that's how I got started on whooping cough. So Barbara Fisher and I got together, and we started looking into the whooping cough epidemic in Virginia. It was not really an epidemic, maybe it's 20, 30 cases. But from there we went into looking into the vaccination. We found out that the children being vaccinated against the whooping cough were getting rather severe side effects. So we wrote a book about the vaccination and the side effects of vaccination. And one thing led to another. We found that the side effects were very, very serious. And we discovered that, in fact, one of the side effects of vaccination was the disease called autism. And we didn't know why vaccination caused autism.
They still put mercury always, right? It's not something they just, because I know they're putting more mercury now in the vaccinations, but they've always put mercury in vaccinations, correct?
I don't know. I think probably yes, because they have to preserve it with something.
Right.
But nobody recognized that autism could come from mercury in vaccinations. And we didn't know it ourselves. We knew that vaccinated children become autistic. We didn't know why. We thought it was a kind of a encephalitis caused by the vaccination.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't know there was really the mercury in the vaccine.
Wow.
Now but as we got into it, though, we found that there was so much damage being done by these vaccines that we became very excited about the vaccines and how much side effects they had.
Uh-huh.
In that book, that we wrote a book together called DPT, A Shot in the Dark, which, as you said, and that book has now sold 60,000 copies. It's our bestseller.
Yeah, and it's the one I'd advise my listeners to get the most if you want to start with anything, definitely.
Yeah, if you want to know everything there is to know about vaccination, that's the book to buy. It's a good one, if I do say so myself.
I'll vouch for you on that, my friend. I'll vouch for you on that.
Thank you, Jeff. I've got a friend who always laughs at me when I say I do say so myself. I'm sure she's laughing right now. And I just wanted to know that sometimes it's true that I say something which is reasonable.
Well, you're ahead of your time, unfortunately, as I feel many things I've done in my life. I've been ahead of my time, and I'm bringing things out just too soon for the people. They're just not ready for it.
But people bought 60,000 copies, so I guess they're ready for it.
Well, you're exposing truth, and the truth is speaking for itself. And I'm sure it's going to continue to speak long after you're gone.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
So you will carry on. Your legacy will carry on. And if I have anything to do with it, it definitely will.
I have no doubt that this book will continue to sell for the next 100 years.
At least.
Well, it'll probably sell 1 million copies before it finishes. There's no reason why it should stop selling. Because new babies make more every day, after all.
Again, with my show, I like to, I don't say I like to shock people. I do shock people, but I like to give them practical solutions to those shockings. You know, there's a situation, oh my God, what do we do about it? Well, what's the solution? What are the solutions if you've already had the vaccinations? Do you know anything about any of that stuff yet?
You mean if they have...
Yeah, some of you since we have some moms listening tonight, and they've got kids, and they're going, oh my God, I've just read his book. My mind is open. What am I going to do? I've already given my son, a few shots, and they tell me if I don't continue and finish the protocol, he's going to be in trouble.
Well, the thing to do would be to read Barbara's in my book, and then not to give more vaccinations under any circumstances.
Okay.
Even a different vaccination can sometimes provoke. Worsening of the situation.
Right.
If your child reacts to the vaccination.
Right. It reacts to another one. Exactly.
Yeah. I know. I was your typical Joe Sixpack at the time when the vaccination situation arose.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to vaccinate my three children. I thought, why not? I said, everyone does it. Why shouldn't we do it? And my wife said, I'm not going to let some man stick needles into my children, which I think was a very sensible reaction on her part.
Good for her.
And, she didn't vaccinate the children. It turned out if she had vaccinated them, they would have suffered very badly. I can see now from the type of
And this is
first, no, they have nothing. They would have been the types that suffered very much from vaccination.
Now, again, this is all.
But she refused to vaccinate them, thank goodness for
and
her.
And this is all your current children, still alive and healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And not no vaccination reactions at all.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Later, to make it rather funny, she became interested in acupuncture, Catherine did.
Uh-huh.
And she got our children to take acupuncture. And they all loved it. And then I remind her that you said you were not going to let some strange man stick needles into your children.
I was going to say, your kids were going to
put needles. But she let this Chinese guy stick needles into her children. And it was a funny situation because our son was the one who was most worried about it. He was scared to death about the
fact, I can imagine.
About the needles. The daughters were very stoical. And they didn't care if the doctor stuck needles into them at all. But the son was the one who was scared all the time. That was funny.
That's interesting. I'm really surprised at all. I mean, getting my kids to do that, that's pretty hard. It's hard for me to just poke their fingers to do their blood on the microscope when I'm checking on them. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So let's keep moving on now. We're moving through your life here. We've got the shot in the dark the controlled clinical trial. Was that before the shot in the dark?
The controlled clinical trial is one of the last books I wrote.
Okay, that was after, correct. Okay.
I wrote it because the doctors always say that the controlled clinical trial is the gold standard of scientific medicine, they say.
Uh-huh.
Then I have something I always tell them, a story, and I'll tell you all now so you can tell it to your own doctor. There's two things that doctors like to say. One of them is that no two cases of illness are the same. No two patients are alike. Every patient is different from every other patient.
Right.
The next thing they say, if you want to get a scientific proof of medicine, you've got to get a group of 20 patients who are all exactly alike. And then you divide them into a test group and a control group.
Okay.
So how do they get 20 patients who are exactly alike if no two patients are alike?
That's interesting.
Anyway, they're not aware of this fact that they're not. It's a contradiction in their own thinking.
Yeah, it's almost like what's going on with the IRS right now. You ask them a simple question: where do you get these laws from? What gives you the right? And they're just sitting there with this blank look on their face. We still have not received an answer yet. Doctors will get the same thing. Lawyers will get the same thing. Where's your license to practice law? I've got a bar card. No. It's all happening now. The truth is finally speaking for itself. Your work...
Well, it helps to speak for it a little bit.
Well, your work and the fruits of your labor are finally yielding, my friend.
I do hope so. Thanks to you, Jeff. Thanks. You're making...
I will help in any way I can. You know I love you. I know you don't like to say that, but I'll tell you that on the air. I love you. You've been a great...
Well, I won't tell anybody you said so.
I'm not even up to par near thinking that the caliber and the level of stuff you've accomplished in your life that I have any right to even host you on a show tonight. But I just thought, no, we've got to do this. We're just going to have fun with it and go with it.
Well, I hope we'll do it again. I hope this is not the last time.
No.
I've got a lot more to say. As my wife, Catherine, always thought I talked too much. I should have never stopped talking. But it's useful to be able to talk sometimes.
Oh, it's very useful.
It's
and also very healthy because you're getting all the truth out instead of keeping it in, because that can literally... kill you at an earlier age than you need to die.
Yes, indeed. It's very bad to have it all buried inside and not be able to tell other people about it.
Yeah, especially when you know it's truth and you're just...
Jeff, let me tell you a little bit more about the side effects of vaccination.
Oh, please do, please.
We found the most terrible things were happening that not only autism was a side effect of vaccination, but autism is about 300 or 400 people in the whole country are autistic, I think, from vaccination. But that there's a thing called the autistic spectrum of diseases, meaning other illnesses which are like autism but not so serious. That includes mainly learning disabilities and hyperactivity. Now, those are learning disabilities, as you probably know, affect about 2/3 of all children in American schools now, which is a frightful thing.
Well, I know.
That means that when these people become adults...
Because in goes the Ritalin and in goes the Prozac.
Exactly. So it means that when they get to be adults, you'll have 2/3 of the American population being learning disabled. Well, if we want to have a prosperous country, we can't have 2/3 of our population with learning disabilities. But this is the effect of vaccination.
Well, again, it's all part of the big plan. They want us dependable. They want us dependent on,
that's it.
And on them and they're basically the Wizard Show. I love so much about this whole thing. That's why I always say The Matrix, the movie, is such my favorite movie because it correlates to this. The Wizard of Oz also, the original Wizard of Oz, was exact... He was trying to get exactly out what they were planning to do. It was all in there, everything, from the Scarecrow, the straw man, has no brain, he can't think for himself. The Tin Man, which stands for TIN, Tax Identification Number, has no heart, as we know they do, or don't. The lion had no courage to face his own fears. And these are all his own fears. They were an illusion.
Well, Jeff, I've often wondered what the Wizard of Oz is about.
I'm telling you, that is what it is about. And originally, it was diamond slippers, not ruby slippers. That was changed in the original script from the original book. But the Wizard of Oz, the original movie, still playing now with Dorothy, Judy Garland, is getting out the truth of what they're setting up, the banking, the money system, that there's just this old man sitting behind this a curtain pulling some strings. None of it's real, but everybody in this world right now is believing it's real, except for those that are waking up right now, which fortunately is a lot of people, thank God.
Well, there's much, much more to talk about the effects of vaccinations.
Well, please get a little bit more into
one
that.
One of the most serious ones is that it causes weakness of the immune system. That is a terrible trouble.
Yeah. That
probably 80% of the American population has got some defect of the immune system or disability of the immune system. And that means that they're subject to all sorts of diseases.
Oh, I bet you they're happy to hear that. Oh, they love that. More drugs. You know, create the disease. We've got the drug.
And the drug companies give you. And then they get drugged up to the gills by the family doctor for these various diseases, which causes a further weakness and further sickness on their part. Yeah. So the combination of the diseases plus all the drugging that they get, I think that the combination is going to really be helping the American public very quickly.
Going to, or already has been for several years now, for quite some time, for good God, what, where are we? Oh, we've been to 1,000 years now. So it's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, it's been going on for some decades, right, for sure.
Yes, centuries, decades. You know, you're right, decades.
The modern period of drug use started after the Second World War.
Uh-huh.
So it's been going on for 50 years anyway.
Yeah.
Another illness which is caused by vaccinations, which although no doctor has ever said so or ever recognized it, no, is diabetes.
Yes.
There's a lot of diabetes in the United States.
Well, heart disease, diabetes, a lot of respiratory stuff is the big one right now. All seems to be going cardiovascular. It's airborne, whatever they're doing with us. And waterborne in our food, but there's things we can do to protect ourselves.
Now, let me go on. That's not everything. You haven't heard the whole story yet. Let me tell you much more.
Please continue.
What do we do about this? How are we going to do something about this situation? How are we going to prevent this from getting worse or even from continuing the way it is? That's the next problem that the United States is facing. And it's impossible to figure out an answer to it, because to get something done about it, you have to get the doctors to work on it. And the doctors are the last people that are ever going to work on it, because that means that they have to admit that they themselves are the cause of all these sicknesses.
Right, and they're doing everything
And they don't want to admit that. The medical profession doesn't want that. That's one thing that the world of the medical profession does not want to admit, that they're the cause of anything bad.
No.
But in fact, the medical profession is probably the cause of about 90% of all the serious illness in the United States. That's a frightful indictment of the medical profession.
Well, you're aware that more people die every month than from the Hiroshima bomb. Just from side effects of drugs and diagnosis, surgeries, going into the hospital for a checkup and coming out with some ill disease or sickness.
The hospital is a very dangerous place to go to.
I mean, it's one of the easiest situations to handle in the ventilation system, and they just don't even deal with that. They say, oh, we have HEPA filtration. I was like, well, that's not enough. You need to do a lot more and filter each air in each room separately. And they still don't get that. At least they're washing their hands now, I guess.
So in other words, we're up against a situation which the Romans knew about. They said, who guards the guards themselves? In Latin, quis custodiet ipsos custodes. That was the thing which the Romans faced. If you've got guards, it's no good if you've got nobody. Nobody's guarding the guards. Now, we have the doctors, the guards, and the guards of our health, but nobody's guarding them. And until we recognize that fact and do something about it, we're still going to go on from bad to worse, I have no doubt.
Now, what I understand is why something as powerful as truth, which homeopathy is, and other forms of healing, I call these things in this realm, are, why can't we get what we need to get out there to keep it solidified? We can. It's just a matter of doing it. And I hope the listeners tonight, I hope people from the organization, or not the organization, but the center, will, I'm for it. I'm for getting this and doing what we have to do to create our own entity. And
you're right. We're getting into the question of.
And since you said it, the people, it's with the people. The people want it, and that's exactly where it should be. It should be with and for the people, and from the people. Okay.
And exactly. Again, a lot of people are asking themselves.
The people are the guards of it, just the way it's supposed to be in this country right now. And unfortunately, it's not. People are supposed to be the guards of the government, and it's gone the other way around. But in this case, the people should be, and maybe we could do something where we can get a movement of the people that use and are behind homeopathy. Doctors can be underneath them, not above them, underneath them, and work with them.
Well, fortunately, that started already. We don't have to start it. It's starting already. And people are going into homeopathy by the millions because they see that it's a science which they can learn themselves. They don't have to go to medical school for it.
Yeah, but why not get together with these people that are doing it instead of trying to do it separately?
And then they can treat any kind of illness. Usually, homeopathy got started with the mothers treating their own children. Okay. That was how homeopathy got its start, for the mothers who learned it, because they wanted to be able to treat their children so the doctor wouldn't have the doctors coming and giving them mercury and taking blood.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen again. Once the mothers of America realize that a heavy dose of antibiotics is not what their children need every day or every week.
For those of you that will continue to use antibiotics, just make sure you do the healthy probiotics afterwards, even if it's just yogurt. Got to get that healthy army back in there because those antibiotics just destroy the immune system.
Yeah, that's very true. The antibiotics are the worst thing that could have happened to us. In small quantities, they're beneficial, but
I was going to ask you about antibiotics. Are you familiar with silver and using silver back in the day before antibiotics and Pasteur was?
Silver was used to pasteurize water
and
kill germs.
Exactly. Now, you remember
it could still be done because silver is the same as it always was.
Well, it is being done. It's being done worldwide. I mean, everybody's using it that are conscious of the fact that silver is one of the best agents out there for anything from viral to parasitic to bacterial to fungal to mold, yeast, you name it.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
It's like I think it's like the count now that they can say that some over 650 or more known diseases from cancer to AIDS to you name it that silver will work against by itself, proven within 6 minutes or less. Anybody can verify that on a microscope or in somebody's blood. I've seen it happen many times. Magic Johnson, for instance, he's still around. You never hear about him, do we? He's doing just fine. So, in the vaccinations, what are the longer-term things that, again, I think it leads all into like things like Alzheimer's and other chronic memory issues in the brain. Mercury tends to settle in the brain from what I've understood in my research, and which is one of the hardest organs or parts of the body, being only fat, and it's an organ that requires to get out the heavy metals. It's the most difficult. And we found that by using super greens and dark greens and things like chlorophyll, for instance, which also is a study of a new stem cell tech therapy that's being done right now that I told you a little bit about. That's quite amazing stuff.
Yeah, so you're always up at the forefront of things, yeah.
I try. But anything that's dark, leafy greens, dark super greens, liquid chlorophyll is the best to use for detoxing heavy metals, getting them out of the brain, preferably try and get your fillings out before you do that because it will even eat up the fillings and get those out. So, vaccinations, have we completely covered that? We've scared people, but do they know that there's actually, don't be scared. Even if you've had vaccinations, there's ways of getting it out of your system.
Well, the way to deal with the effects of vaccination is to go to a homeopathic doctor. They have ways of treating the effects of vaccination, which the other doctors don't have yet. So, anybody who's worried about side effects of vaccination, I urge you to contact your neighborhood homeopath and see what he or she can do for you.
Are we allowed to give out the National Center of Homeopathy information?
Yeah, if you've got their phone number, we should give it out. I don't have it there handy here.
Well, I'll come across, or here it is.
That is the National Center for Homeopathy in Alexandria, Virginia. You can get the phone number from the information, of course. And
The number I've got is 703-548-7790.
That sounds right, yeah.
Alexandria, Virginia.
Exactly.
The National Center for Homeopathy. Peter says hi, by the way. So, what do you want to go to next? We've got over, 10 books now you've done?
Well, that's the next thing to talk about, I guess, would be my work in medical history, I think.
Okay.
I got so interested in the history of the formation of the American Medical Association, and I saw the huge conflict between the homeopaths and the old-school doctors. And I thought, maybe this wasn't just in the 19th century. Maybe it happened before, too. I'm by nature a historian, so I look to the historical roots of everything. So I started looking back in further in history, and I found that, yes, indeed, that conflict has always been there in medicine. Maybe it wasn't quite as violent as it was in 1846, but it was always there under the surface. So I started writing a history of medicine incorporating that idea that there's medicine includes two trends, one which I called empiricism, the other I called rationalism, because those were historical names for those two trends in Roman times.
Okay.
And I found out that this conflict existed in history ever from the beginning, even before the year one. In ancient Greek times, you could find it there. In the Hippocratic Corpus, you could find it. So I wrote four volumes, which was a pretty huge effort, if I may say so, about 3,000 pages in all. So it's quite a lot to buy, and it's also quite a lot to read.
Is this what you put together prior to Divided Legacy series?
Volume, what did you say?
Is this the work you were doing in the medical realm, was this prior to doing the Divided Legacy series, or was this during the process?
It was during the process, yeah.
Okay.
The History of the American Medical Association was volume three of this, four volumes. There are three other volumes which are not about the American Medical Association, but about medical history generally.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that it's easy reading, or maybe not even very interesting unless you're fascinated by medical history, but it is worthwhile. It's good for you anyway, like taking something, some kind of food which you should eat, even though you don't like the flavor, because it's good for you.
Yeah. And I'd recommend, if you really want to understand it, have a medical dictionary and a regular, really good dictionary with you.
Yeah, dictionary is good, too.
Let's get into the Divided Legacy series a little bit, because that explains kind of your whole involvement in the medical realm of what you were trying to accomplish.
You can get those books from Amazon. You can also get them from the publisher called North Atlantic Books in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
Funny place to be located, for North Atlantic Books to be located.
Yeah, one of them I noticed. I think it was the AMA book. I think the AMA book was a very expensive one. All the other ones were around 20, 30 bucks, but the other one was like 70, 80 bucks.
No, yeah. That's not. You've got it actually the other way around. The one of the American Medical Association is $20 because it's a paperback.
Okay.
The other three are all $50 a piece.
Well, one of them I looked at, one of the four was real expensive, and there was like not too many available.
I don't know how it could have been more than $50. I think that's pretty expensive.
And that's from Amazon. So there must be a scarcity of these or something, or everybody's in high demand for this book.
Could well be. You know, the price goes up as the scarcity.
Yeah. So listeners out there, jump on Amazon. They're still there.
While there's a few left, you better go and order them. Get them quickly. While they're still there, I'd recommend.
So, let's see. Where are we at? We've got another... about 10 minutes or so of the show. Any callers, anybody that would like to call in, if anybody has any questions for Harry tonight or any general questions about anything about tonight's show, the toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada is 888-810-8322. And for all our international callers out there, of course, use the international code, and then it is area code 530-876-3222. What do you want to talk about, Harry? Let's get into some stuff.
Well, I'll talk about my future plans if you're interested.
Okay, no, definitely. Please.
Well, my future plans are to do something about this epidemic of immune system malfunction which we're suffering from in the United States. I have a medicine which I think is a very good, valid treatment for that condition.
Okay.
The medicine was developed by a doctor in Moscow whom I used to know. He died now, but he was very much of a genius, and he developed a medicine for treating immune system weakness. He developed it as a treatment primarily for women who had trouble conceiving, because he decided that the difficulty in having a baby is caused by immune system weakness. And then he carried it over to treatment of cancer, because he concluded that cancer was the result of weakness of the immune system.
Right.
If the immune system is strong, the cancer cannot develop beyond the first
right.
two or three cells,
right.
because it's killed by the immune system. But if the immune system is weak, the cancer can keep developing and get bigger and bigger until it finally is too strong for the organism to stay alive.
Right.
And this doctor was named Govallo, G-O-V-A-L-L-O. He wrote a book called Immunology of Pregnancy and Cancer, which can be purchased, although it's rather expensive. But if you can find it somewhere, anyone who's going to Russia could get it in Russian.
I've got some contacts over there. You might as well.
That's not going to do most people any good, I'm afraid.
Well, please help me get a copy at least, whatever we need to do here. I'd definitely like to have one.
Well, we'll try to see what we can do, Jeff. Yeah.
Immunology on or of pregnancy?
immunology of pregnancy and cancer.
Oh, pregnancy, okay.
Yeah.
And cancer. Wow, wow. Okay.
So what I'm saying about the immune system weaknesses, no surprise to the people who are listening, because we hear a lot about AIDS, after all.
Uh-huh. Yes, continue. Again, an immune deficiency situation.
So that's, we hear about AIDS, and that's not the only sign of our immune deficiency. It's a total epidemic. Without any doubt, many doctors think that cancer is definitely caused by immune system weakness, as I said a moment ago.
And it is. I'll vouch for that.
And the cancer, of course, is a very frightful epidemic. If the trends continue the way they are now, everybody in the United States just about will die of cancer sometime.
That's their plan, but unfortunately they're not going to make it. Too many people are waking up too quickly. And thanks to shows like in the programs like BBS and what we're doing here with The Simple Truth, as well as all the other shows on BBS Radio, you get a chance, Terry. We're going to get you set up with a computer out there, get you caught up to times a little bit, because exactly what you want to do is being done by many, many great people out there that you need to be part of, and I will make sure you are, and we can do this. And I want to get a big push in homeopathy as well.
We can count on you, Jeff. I know that.
To really get this out there and just get this to the people. Because, again, you're talking about how are we going to do this? How are we going to get to the mothers? How are we going to get to anybody? It's all through education. You know, you got to put the education in front of them. Not tell them, look, you dumb, stupid, you know what? You're supposed to wake up and know what you're doing is wrong. No, they'll just look at you and laugh at you like you're some idiot. You have to come at them with truth and just say, look, I'm not here to point fingers at anything. Here's some truth. You can either read it or not read it. You can either understand it or not understand it. I've done my part. You know, I've planted the seed. That's our job. You've written the books. You've done your job. So the seeds are well planted, and I think, like I said, the fruit is starting to bear right now with us, not only because just of what's happening around the planet on all levels, on many levels, but just what's happening locally in our country and our government and politics and within the old medical system. You know, I have doctors now that call me, literally radiologists and so forth that deal with chemotherapy and do radiology and so forth in their patients. One of their family members gets sick, they call me. What do I do? I'm not going to do what I'm doing to my patients. No way. Flat out. They'll just tell me this.
Well, there you have it. That's exactly what's happening.
So, again, any callers, please call in if you have any questions. I usually have open phones most of all my shows, but the last few times I've spoken to my listeners, they say, you guys are just so on. The show is so riveting, they say, that they didn't want to disturb us. So hopefully that's the case tonight, because I know we have a lot of listeners tonight. And again, Harry, we will be doing another show, so get ready for something really in-depth on a really, really good subject that is your passion. I want to focus on the passions of everybody right now and getting the truth out there passionately.
I'm the most passionate guy you'll ever meet.
Yes, you are. And I think thanks to me, I've been able to soften you up a little bit.
I'm feeling soft already.
Well, that's great. Anything else you'd like to add in here in the next few minutes?
No, that's it. One thing more, if anybody's interested. I'm looking for a partner in my work on cancer because I have to get this medicine approved by the FDA. And that has cost a lot of money, much more than I have available. So if anybody out there has a couple $100,000 that they would want to invest in a cancer remedy, in a company which I'm going to form, I'll be very glad to hear from him.
Now, do you still have the rights on that serum? Is everything going good with that?
Say what?
Do you still have the rights to that serum and everything? Everything's...
Yeah, I do.
Legally in place?
Not yet, but I'm about to put them legally in place.
Let me know again if I can help with that, because again, this is about helping people, folks. You know, if everybody gets it, including the AMA, the American Medical Association, everybody would just get it. You know, I was going to ask you the question a little bit earlier in the show. Well, what do you think their true root reason is? Why do doctors and AMA and so forth, besides trying to stop homeopathy, which is something that works, doing what they're doing? Because there's no... Excuse me, because there's no money in homeopathy, the way they look at it.
That's true, they do.
That's the way they look at it. There's money in anything you do done correctly. But if you're doing it with integrity in the first place, and you're doing it to actually help somebody, that's really your real reason for doing it, guess what? Lord, God, Spirit, Buddha, whatever you believe in, and if you're an atheist, the universe will take care of you. You will get back the flow of the good energy you put out. So if you're helping people, guess what? You're going to have more patients, not less. Because guess what? People just don't want to go to the doctors now. They do not want to go to the doctors. People I talked to just a year ago, 6 months ago, that would go to the doctors, don't want to go to the doctors. They know what's going to happen. They know what they're going to do. They know what they're going to say. And that's not an answer or solution to anything. It's basically more problems. You know, the side effects are just, you know, time has shown its efficacy, and it's just not there. The Western medicine now could integrate. There are some good things about Western medicine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting Western medicine down completely in any way, shape, or form. You know, in emergency situations or high-risk situations or emergency surgery situations, they're awesome. They're not the best in the world, but they're pretty damn good. I wish you would have caught one of my, actually it was on my first show, I think, with Ron Logan. He just came back from China, Harry.
Yeah.
He talked about how the doctors do everything over there compared to how we do things here. And as a matter of fact, he was in some of the slummer parts, what they call the slums of China. And he was going to some of the physicians there, and they literally had dirt floors, patients sitting on a stool, their skull cap removed, operating and doing poking needles in their brain to see what happens. Right in front of our doctors here from the States, they're just looking at them with their mouth hanging. The guy's fully conscious and aware of what's going on. Whatever problem he has usually goes away. They deal with everything through herbs. They do everything naturally. Nobody takes drugs there. Nobody. You do not see a heavyweight person anywhere. You do not see a sickly person anywhere. Overweight, obesity, there's something he said about that. I'll have to look back at my notes from the show, but he just basically
said... What is that prayer going to be, Jeff?
That already aired. I can get that out to you. I'll get a recording of it out to you.
Run it again.
Yeah, he specializes in iridology, and he was talking about basically the way they do it there, as well as like in Germany, for instance, at the top hospitals and doctors there. If you see an iridologist first, they look at your eye and tell you exactly what's going on in your body, and they decide who's best to suit your constitutional needs depending on what's going on. An acupuncturist, an acupressurist, an herbologist, a colonoscopist, not a colonoscopist, a colonic therapist. You know, they get exactly into true health, true healing, and true alternative preventative medicine.
Now, I'm not surprised, Jeff. The Germans design airplanes very well, and they probably design health systems as well, too.
Well, let's get to the problem before it becomes a problem is their motto. Not let's get to the problem after it becomes a problem and give you what we think might work and whatever, you know. Again, the question I had was, why do they do this? Is it about money? Is it just for money? I don't think so. A lot of doctors I've met really believe, like a lot of people I met in this country, that really believe they're American patriots upholding the rights of this country, and they're not. Doctors believe they're really trying to help their patients. That's their intentions. They really want to help their patients. They want to make them better. A lot of doctors do. I've met a lot of great doctors out there. Like, what was that one that Robin Williams did? That was a great movie, and I can't remember the name. God, do you remember the name, Baby Doll? Patch Adams. Patch Adams. It was just an amazing movie of what a true doctor could really, really be like, and just really, he would so much enjoy his job, because as we know, most of our doctors are dying in their 40s and 50s from heart attacks, heart disease, stress-induced strokes. Of course, they're not taking care of themselves, and you know, even some heart surgeons smoke cigarettes. I mean, it's just like, they just don't get it, you know, because they're just not trained it. Again, what do? It's not their fault. Their ignorance is not their fault. It's a choice, again, to choose to be ignorant and have truth in front of you and not do anything about it. But it's also a choice when you know somebody's ignorant and you can help them and give them some light. And if they choose to see it, you've planted the seed and made the difference. So I do see a lot of doctors out there where that is happening, that exact process is happening. Doctors are seeing their patients doing their natural stuff at home. And this is typically usually older people that have already been on medications for many years, dealing with diabetes, high blood pressure, arthritis, whatever it may be, on their drugs. Doctors are, you know, doing whatever they can do to try to help them, but they're on a ton of drugs. And also they say, that's it, this just isn't working, I'm dying. And they start doing the herbs, they start doing homeopathics, they start doing whatever it is they do naturally, and they get better. And the doctor says, I don't know what you're doing, but just keep doing it. And the doctor's not some stupid idiot. He knows they're doing something that's alternative, so to speak. I don't like to use the word alternative because I think Western is alternative versus Eastern, which is true healing, true medicine. But it's just an educational thing is all it is. We don't have to point our fingers and say, you're a bad doctor because you don't educate yourself, you don't know. They're not given the education. They get, what, some 7 to 10 hours of nutritional education in the 7 years of medical school? That's it.
If they get as much as that.
If that. From what I've heard, some don't even remember the 7 to 10 hours. So it's just like, you know, it's a matter of, of course, the doctor just saying, hey, look, you know, I can see there's a problem here, and I can see my license could be at risk. But if they also understood the truth, they're licensed by an association that's a private organization, not government or government regulated in any way. They have their own henchmen, so to speak, that come out and bust down your doors and do the ugly stuff they do, you know, creating the wizard show, the illusion to put that fear into you. But in reality, that is just a private organization, no more so than the Federal Express or UPS. We could start your own organization, our own organization, their own organization, the people's own organization, whatever it may be, and get together with all the other around the world, because they're already heading towards a one world order, And it's not that I'm against it. I'm against the way they're doing it and the way that their plan is for it. It's an inevitable thing to happen on any planet that sustains balance. We all have to live together because we're on the same ball. So that's the consciousness I see towards it. But other than the way they're doing it through a controlled issue, and controlled and meaning we're owned and enslaved and enslaved, and we only have so many choices, and we have to go to the doctors, and we can't do it any other way, otherwise we're, you know, my God, as parents, it's so, I've witnessed this happen with people like Lynn Horowitz, who's written several books, amazing books. His own daughter right now was getting harassed because she wouldn't get vaccinations in school, and all of a sudden the school brought in the state board or whatever, and they were going to file charges against them for bad parenting, took away the daughter from them. I'm like, oh my God. And this is just like, hello, Hitler. I guess he's still here, and he's just hiding out somewhere and directing everybody. At least they're not shooting everybody in the streets. They're doing it quietly in a hospital where they can, you know, make their money a little easier and faster. But it's just, that's it. This is going to stop. It has to stop. And,
well, Jeffrey, I see we haven't heard the last of you yet.
Oh, by no means.
I'm sure you'll be back again.
I'm not the only one
on this. Even further.
Eliminating me would do you no good, because too many people know the truth now. And a lot of, and as a matter of fact, there's a website called DisclosureProject.org, and on that, ex-people from all the three-letter organizations you can possibly think of and name, and the ones that aren't even in there that people don't even aware of, have left and are exposing what they've witnessed and seen going on. You know, yes, aliens are real. Yes, free energy is real. Yes, cars can run on water. Yes, you know, there's other aliens and beings here helping us. There's other aliens and beings here destroying us. And yes, the government and parts of the government are, the government is so fractionated and so fractal now, there is no one overseer of the government anymore. It's just completely split apart. There's no structure. Even Bush's whole regime is falling apart as we speak. I mean, there's world indictments out for his arrest.
Yeah, even as we speak.
As we speak. You know, Cheney's apparently got arrest warrants out, and they can't find him. It's just, woo, here it is, folks. You know, truth speaks for itself. In the face of light, nothing can stand against it. Nothing, no one, no thing, nothing. So be excited, Harry, because we're gonna get you back to normal again, up and walking. We're going to get you writing another book or two, I'm sure, right? Is that correct?
Well, my friends are writing, so please, that I'm not writing any more books. That they, I couldn't disappoint them by writing another book.
I think we could squeeze one more out of you.
They say that we can't read all the books you've written already. It's too much. So please don't write any more.
Well, I'm gonna.
So I try to have to keep my friends interested in my mind, don't I?
Yeah, you do. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to end the show then tonight because we're running out of time. So again, I'll leave our listeners with the links or questions for tonight's show. And the general website is www.2thehealthynow.com. That's www, the number 2. That's the numeral 2, not the word 2. And then spell out the words BEHEALTHYNOW.com. Or just simply go to the BBSRadio.com website on tonight's show information down the center under Saturdays, 5 to 6, I think it is, Pacific time. And any of the links for our website can be found there, as well as contacting the hosts or guests from tonight's show or any of our shows. And again, thanks for tuning in tonight, conscious listeners, and thank you, Dr. Coulter, for your many accomplishments and helping to raise awareness when it comes to our health.
Please tell your audience to buy as many of my books as they possibly can.
Can you hear that, folks? Buy the books. Now, not only does he need the financial help, and any donations are definitely appreciated, from everything from his own situation to what we're trying to put together and do for everybody else's situation worldwide and in bringing light and truth out there, the books are just amazing. I mean, they're just very, very enlightening, eye-opening, very well written. Hats off to you, Harry, for that one. Again, thanks, listeners, for tuning in to tonight's show, and be sure to come back next week for another highly enlightening and conscious-shifting show. Our next week's guest will be Dr. Eugene Miller on enzymes. And these enzymes, folks, are not unlike any of the things you've heard when it comes to enzymes. There's one called the Rockbuster, and we will have Dr. Rob on with us, hopefully, that during that show to talk about this stuff, how it literally bores through solid calcified arterial plaque. And again, heart disease being one of the biggest killers in this country, is the heart is one of the easiest parts of the body to heal, regenerate, and get better again. We just unfortunately had a loved one in our family surgery recently. Finishing up, so I'll finish it up here. I'll wrap it up there, Don. That was our producer. Anyways, as always, it's our mission with the simple truth every Saturday night to continually see.
Well, thank you for having me on. Jeff.
Okay,
well,
hang on for a minute here. I'll talk to you in a minute. And as always, thanks to our products and healing modalities from around the world, we'll do our best to keep you up to date on our current affairs going on in our country. Most importantly, we are always seeking and staying in truth, in the light, in love, always. And again, many thanks to our producer, Donald Newsom. and for BBS Radio for what you do, as we know you do it so well. And don't forget, folks, if it's not on mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. Spread the news, spread the truth, spread the love, and spread the light. Bye for now. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, and may your lives be filled with a great joy and wonder always. Love and light to all.